Good evening and welcome to this edition of Agar Meditation. Today we have something very simple and something that's necessary. This is meditation for busy people. Now the reason why I got to this is because the time is such that even people who are wanting to meditate on a daily basis are finding it difficult because of the simple challenges. They are not difficult challenges, simple challenges. I want to meditate, but suddenly there is something that's come up. I have to pack this breakfast for my children, or I have to, or for my grandchildren, or I have to do this or that. Something or the other just comes up, and you're not able to meditate. And then you sit to meditate, but your mind is not getting focused. Something or the other just comes in the way. So what can someone who is busy, what can they do? How can they spend that little bit of time, maybe 5 minutes of that time in meditation, so that they can go deep into that moment, into those 5 minutes? How can you make the time more enriching? Now, that's what we are going to look into today. Everyone, according to me, everyone knows what they need to do to be healthy in their mind, in their body, in their emotions. But we have told ourselves that we don't have the time, that we don't have, it's not a little later, maybe after this task, maybe after talking to someone, or maybe after doing something else. But that later never comes, and we end up not meditating at all. So what can we do? So today I'm not going to take you through the Maypole meditation, but I'm going to take you through very simple practices that can be equally effective. So let us begin now. The first and foremost practice. Now let's assume that you are in an office waiting for someone. It's going to take a few minutes because the person is talking to someone else and you are waiting. So what can you do? Or maybe you are in a traffic signal, waiting for the signal, and there is quite a bit of traffic lined up before you. So it will take a couple of minutes for the signal to turn green. It will take maybe a minute more, or maybe half a minute for you to start moving. So what can you do in these 2 minutes? So instead of looking at your smartphone, or instead of looking at your messages or news or whatever, what can you do? That's what we are going to focus on. So all the little time that you have in between activities are times when you can actually bring in a practice. Now, why must you bring in a practice? The primary objective of bringing in any practice is to have the mind in your grasp. That's all. That's so simple, to have the mind in your grasp. But why should we have the mind in our grasp? Aren't we able to think? Aren't we able to process? Aren't we able to analyze? Aren't we able to transact? Actually, we are able to do it, but the difference between having the mind in your grasp and not is that you could get anxious, you could get restless, you could be hasty in your decision making or in your transactions. You could actually miss the message in that moment that can actually make all the difference to what you're doing. And that message comes from your conscience, comes from consciousness, which is constantly and consistently trying to support you and to fulfill your existence with its guidance. This guidance is available to each one of us unconditionally. There is no one who is favored over the other. Each one of us is getting this guidance. The only reason why we are not able to listen to this guidance is because we are not tuning in. So by these 1 minute, 2 minute, half a minute practice, we will slowly and surely tune into the guidance of the inner conscience. Most women are able to tune in without, or rather effortlessly. That's because they are always directly from the heart. So there is no preparation required for most women, unless of course you have habits that takes you away from yourself. But most men have to practice, because we are more mental and we have so many thoughts, anxieties, restlessness that we have conditioned ourselves to, that we have to undo all of this by tuning in to the inner conscience. So let us come back to the practices. What must I do if I'm in a traffic signal? What can I do? One of the simple things that I can do is probably look at a dot that is there in the car or the vehicle opposite or in front of me or inside my car. So what I would do is I would carry my wife's bindi, I'll put it on my thumb and I'll keep looking at it at a traffic signal. That's one of my ways of focusing. So I would focus on the bindi on my thumb, on my nail of the thumb. I would fix it there. I'll keep staring at it for the 1 minute or 2 minutes. That much focus is a lot. It's intense. So if you can do that, it's one of the way to focus. But then while focusing, if you have any thoughts, what do you do? Thoughts are old, powerful demons. So do not try to fight with the thought. If a thought comes, take your focus off, divert your attention, let the thought pass, and restart the practice. So you can't be pro on day one. You will have to start practicing so you can become a professional over time. So until that time, you will have to practice step by step. This is one simple and powerful way. You know how powerful this is? If you can practice this for a little over 29 minutes, then you can get into samadhi. That's how powerful this simple practice is of just observing your nail. In fact, I tried this when I was in Hyderabad many years ago. I was in a service apartment and I had a good 1 hour time with me. So I just sat 30 minutes and then backed it up with another 30 minutes of just looking at my thumb. And there I was in just 1 hour. I had no past, no future. I was 100% in the present. That's how straightforward this practice is. So simply looking at your thumb, if the thumb area is too large, then do what I do, is put a bindi on the thumb and just keep looking at it. So when your focus shifts, you will see in some time that your eyesight has shifted from the point of focus. All you have to do is to simply bring back focus to your thumb or the bindi that you have put on the thumb. This is one simple practice that you can do. The most important aspect of all the practices that I'm sharing is that there are umpteen number of them, but you will have to do something about them. You will have to practice at least one or two. So the more you practice, the more familiar you become with the practice, the more easily you can remember them, so that whenever you have time, whenever you're waiting for somebody, maybe in your car, or maybe someone just said that they'll be away for a minute. So wherever you have to wait, maybe a cafeteria, maybe in your office, maybe your car, maybe you're traveling in a metro and you have a good 15, 20 minutes. Maybe you're flying, you have got hours on hand. So you can do so, there's so many opportunities all around you. I remember there was this lady who was traveling with me from Mumbai to Bangalore, and she was sitting beside me. I knew her from before we traveled. So I always make it a point to meditate whenever I'm in a flight. So I sat in meditation, and after about half an hour, when the meals came, I opened my eyes and she said, "Wow, your meditation is so powerful. All my body ache just vanished." So when you sit and meditate, you are not only doing it for yourself. There's so many people that you are serving unconditionally. And when you do this, consciousness rewards you by wiping off your parts of your karma. And that's what we all are here for. We all are born only to wipe off our karma. So if we are done, then there is no rebirth. So most of you might not even have this point of rebirth in your mind, but I'm just stating because that is the reason why we have come, that we don't want to come back again. A lot of women don't want to come back again because they've gone through so much that they don't want to come back again. But most men, yes, a lot of them still want to have many pleasures in their lives. Anyways, so this is one practice that you can do of observing your thumb or putting your bindi on the thumb. So let us just attempt this practice for good 12 seconds. This is, I have done this before. So let's now just practice it for 12 seconds. So stick out your right or left thumb as a thumbs up, and then you just keep observing your thumb. Women, if you have your nail polish wearing off, I suggest don't judge yourself. Just look at the thumb and that's enough. If anyone has any lines on your thumb or ridges, or you have bitten your nail, don't judge yourself. Just look at your thumb. If you feel it's awkward, looking awkward or awful, just stick a bindi on your thumb and just look at it. So let us now stick out this thumb. I'm going to ask you to start and stop the practice so that you can maintain focus and you don't have to do the counting. So now stick out your thumb, either the right or the left. If you want, you could take probably a few seconds to take out a bindi or ask someone for a bindi to put on your thumb so that you can bring your focus, narrow your focus to a defined area. So if you are ready, let us begin. Now hold your thumbs up and look at the thumb for a good 12 seconds. Let us start now. Stop. Now, if you had any thoughts, then you will have to do this again. If you did not have any thoughts, that's fantastic. So the mind has a focusing capacity of 12 seconds. Beyond 12 seconds, it will start processing other thoughts. It will not allow you to maintain that focus. But if you want to extend that focus to 20 seconds or 30 seconds or 1 hour or 1 minute or more, you will have to practice observing the thumb. This is one simple practice that you can do. There is another practice that you can do, which is to, again, just observe your breathing. Now, when you observe your breathing, there are two ways of observing your breathing. One of the ways is to observe it superficially, which means that you know your breathing, you can feel the breath in your nostrils, and so you're very casual about it. While observing your breath, you breathe in, you breathe out, you're observing your breath. After some time, the mind takes over. It kind of automates this process. So while you're observing the breath, you're also thinking of so many thoughts. And after some time, you forget that you were even observing the breath. You get consumed by your thinking. So what do? We have to intensify the process of breathing. We have to intensify the process of observation. So now, here you need to sit straight. This is necessary because we are making this process so definitive that we are going to observe something subtle. Looking at something gross is easy. We are using our sense organs. But here, we are going to focus the mind on something that is subtle. So, sit with your back, neck and head straight. And keep your eyeballs downward and just start observing the breath. Now, while observing the breath, I need you to observe the breath go from your nostrils onto the back of the throat. Just follow the breath from your nostrils to the back of the throat as you breathe in and also as you breathe out. So let us try this for at least 15 respirations. Let's begin now. While breathing out, you may want to be a little forceful so you can actually feel the breath in your nostrils. Some of you might notice how thoughts take over, how thoughts begin to appear. You just have to be more focused and slow. Slow down your observation. Don't slow down the breath. Slow down your observation. Become more keen as an observer. Now you will see, even while you're being a keen observer, there are times when the thoughts begin to appear. In such cases, you can just shush the thought. You can just say, shush. And so the thought can actually just disperse. The moment you interfere in your thinking, the thinking gets disrupted, then the chain of thoughts simply break. So bring in a shush. You can be loud if you wish. Come back to conscious awareness. I just want to ask you, how many of you actually needed to shush your thoughts? How many of you had? Okay. I want to ask you, how many of you felt it benefited? I'm just going to lower all your hands. How many of you felt it benefited? Okay, good. Very good. It's so simple. It's so simple. The mind has to be constantly trained. It has to be constantly trained. You cannot stop the training of your mind. It just must not stop. As long as you have breath in the body, your mind requires training. Your mind will simply not listen. It's because we have spent so many years listening to the mind, and now we want it to listen to us. It simply doesn't know how. It is erratic. It is unstable. That's the nature of the mind. So something that's erratic and unstable cannot become disciplined. You cannot discipline the mind. So what you have to do is to rise above the mind and use it. It's a tool. So you have to rise above the mind to use it. So it is like stepping on a stool to get onto a ladder. In a similar way, we are going to use the mind to rise above the mind. And these are the practices that we are using. One is to shush your thoughts. One is to look at your thumb. One is to feel your breath. These are the practices. You can do asana, for example. Asana as a practice is primarily to sit in meditation for lengthy periods of time without any resistance. That's what asana is meant for. Today, unfortunately, it's become a circus. But asanas are meant only because you can sit in meditation for a long period without any resistance. This resistance comes in the way of aches and pains in the body. So to prevent them, you get into postures and you find out where the resistance is and you eliminate the resistance. That's what yoga is all about. That's what asana is all about. So if you are a yoga practitioner, either personal or a professional, then you can use asana for yourself and for your clients to help them get rid of their aches and pains so they can sit in meditation for longer periods of time. You can enhance the comfort that the body can experience while sitting in a posture. That's what asana is meant for. So you can practice asana. In asana, while performing the asana, you can get into a posture and observe the body. When you observe the body, then all the muscles that have cramped, that are stiff in the posture, begin to relax. And when that happens, your body can be really, really supple. That's how the body behaves. Are there any questions so far? All right, so let's move on. Another simple practice. Now you can practice looking at every single part of the body. You can look at nature, for example. You can look at a flower, for example. If you're looking at any aspect which is not a part of your own biology, if you're looking at something else outside of you, you can sit and focus on it. All right, you can sit and focus on it. It could be a dot on the wall. It could be something on a desk. It could be something on a chair. But what is important is that particular object should not be mobile. It must not be mobile because you need to maintain consistent focus. This consistency is important with every practice that you do. When you become consistent in your practice, then you will get the rewards for the practice. Let me tell you what is happening in our lives. Because we are consistent in our practice, we get many such rewards in our life. We wanted to go someplace and we get a person who is serving in this place as a client. So he tells us, please come to where we are. Please call us whenever you want to come and we will make all the arrangements. So this is how life works for us. So when you meditate, consciousness works for you. Whatever tasks that you need, it will just find you. I bought a land a few months ago, and I want to build a temple. And soon, and the thought was given to me. It's not my thought. It's not something that I personally wanted to do. But consciousness decided that because here is a person who is listens to consciousness, let's put him to task. So it gave me instructions to build a temple and have 3 idols. No sooner had I received these instructions, I received a call from Kolhapur, where a person, a Guruji, called me and he said that if you need idols, you can get them made here. I said, what synchronicity? Now the consciousness decides to put things together in perspective, so you don't have any difficulty in accessing the resources. But if you were to use the mind, it would be extremely stressful. It would be a struggle searching for people and searching for resources. This is one good reason why you need to meditate. Whatever challenges that you have in your life, if you can bring in a little focus and attention into your life, then you can listen to the instructions of consciousness, and then you will see all the possibilities blossom right in front of you, and everything that you need will simply drop on your lap. And this is no exaggeration. It is the truth. It will simply drop on your lap. And that's why you can meditate for small amounts of time. Now, these practices can also be done independently. The shush practice, observing the breath, and also observing your thumb. There's another practice that you can do to bring in a lot of calm instantly, and that is to listen to your heartbeat. Let us now focus for just about a minute listening to the heartbeat. Again, sit with your back, neck and head straight, and just take your eyeballs downward. Keep your eyeballs in a downward direction. You can choose to keep your eyes closed or open, and now just observe your heartbeat. How many of you had to shush your thoughts this time? Okay, so that's a very small number. See, most of you did not have to shush your thoughts because the heart is a very peaceful place to be in. So there's no need for you to shush your thoughts when you're listening to your heart. It becomes a lot easier. It's a very calming space. Even if you're listening to a thumping and you feel it's very loud, it's absolutely fine. You can just focus on that and you will see slowly the heart will become quiet and the thumping will become more mellow. It'll become softer. Are there any questions so far? If you have any questions, you can raise your hand. Yes. Yes, please.
I have a question, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between shushing your thoughts and blessing your thoughts? Because you've also spoken about blessing a thought when there is sort of when it interrupts the meditation, right?
That's correct.
So what's the difference between the two, and when do you decide which to do, or are they just different options and you pick whatever works for you?
Yeah, they're different options. It's not everything works for you, but when you practice yeah. these, you remember them. Suddenly you have thoughts, and for example, let's say that you have anxiety, and suddenly you need to bring down that anxiety. Immediately bless the thought. You try to shush the thought when you're anxious, most probably it won't work. It's because you have given the thought so much power that it is taking over you. So at that time, when you try to shush the thought, you will have to go shush, 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 shush. You just have to go on, and you still nothing would happen. But if you just bless the thought, then you're rising above the thought, just getting a state of love, and you're just sharing that love with the thought, and the thought will simply melt away like sugar in water. That's the difference.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Richa, can you unmute?
Good evening, sir. Sir, my question here is, whenever I try and sit in meditation, whenever I try it, my head aches and I feel a little giddy and sleepy sometimes. Physically, everything is in place though. So, what shall I do?
Does your head ache all the time?
Yes, almost all the time when I try to do this, giddiness, heavy-headedness.
Okay. So, do you try to point your eyes at the tip of your nose?
No, I just try close my eyes. I just try focusing on one point, as you said. I've tried different methods so far.
Okay. So, so which part of your head aches?
It's difficult to point out though, but it just gets a little heavy and giddy.
It gets heavy and giddy.
Yeah.
All right. So, we'll just do a small practice here for the benefit of everyone. At times when we are meditating, we can get a little floaty and we can get a little spaced out. So we can do a simple practice, and Richa, you can do this along with the others. What I want you to do now is imagine that you're sitting on the ground. You may be sitting on the ground, but still imagine you're sitting on the ground, and behind you, there is a hook which is pegged to the ground. There's a hook that is pegged to the ground. What I want you to do is to bring down the energy from the back of your head. Like a zipper, you just pull the energy down from the back of your head down and tie it with a thread to this hook. Okay? So now, let us do a small meditation. Just and Richa, you can just try and see what happens this time. So now let us all just focus on our breathing, the practice that we did. Let's just focus on the breathing. And be very keen about your in-breath and out-breath. And make sure that your keenness takes you to every single moment of your inhalation and exhalation. Do not let go of your keenness in observing the breath. Let us start now and do about 10 respirations. Okay, Richa, can you unmute and tell us how you're feeling this time?
So it was surely better. It actually was much better this time.
Yeah, but around the third or fourth breath, did you start searching for the heaviness?
No, I didn't. I was just shushing my thoughts.
You're shushing your thoughts. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is all. So we tend to get floaty, and then that's what gets us to feel heavy. So it's very simple. You just have to bring down your energies, and that's all. You'll be all right. So life is not difficult. It's very simple. But when we don't know how to take care of it, it can be quite a challenge. These are simple practices. And like Tanvi asked, yes, Rupa, do you have a question?
Yes, doctor. Actually, good evening, doctor.
Good evening.
So till last week when I'm doing this meditation, breathe in, breathe out, inhale, exhale, I was doing. But from yesterday onwards, I'm having a new experience. When I'm breathing in, breathing out, my it's completely from inside, something is happening. I feel like this outer, this body is like external layer. But inside, breathe in, breathe out, everything is done from inside. Something, it's, I feel like this body is not reacting anything. Complete, when I'm going to completely, I don't have any thoughts, anything. When I go into complete deep into my meditation, from inside, I'm getting a different feel. Inhale, exhale, everything is doing from inside, like from heart. What is that feel? I'm not able to understand.
So primarily, when all the nadis open, then the Sushumna starts working. So your breathing is happening, but you will see that there's hardly any breath that comes out.
Yes,
it's all happening on the inside. So at that time, the Sushumna just starts getting activated. Very good. Just keep on the practice. But yes, make sure that you ground your energies. Like what I just shared, you can just imagine that you're tying the base of the spine, bringing down the energies from the top of the head, and tie it to a hook which is pegged on the ground so that you can ground your energies and prevent getting floaty.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
But that is actually very nice feel experience I'm getting. Like I don't feel like coming out of that, when I'm going to complete deeper into that meditation, I don't feel like coming out of that. It is such a nice feel I'm having.
Yes, it is a beautiful feeling. It is a beautiful feeling when you are just contained with yourself and everything outside of that seems like an interference.
Yes.
Yes, beautiful. Keep on the practice. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Dr.
So the other practice that Tanvi asked about is blessing the thought. That's another practice. Thoughts are that come by themselves are primarily interfering with your time with yourself. So when you have these thoughts coming up, you can just raise your hand, preferably the right, or both hands, and bless the thought. That way the thoughts can simply melt away. This is necessary because if we get carried off with thoughts, one thought connects to another and then there's a train of thoughts, and before you realize you're completely lost in the moment. There are times you would see that when you have to attend a speaker event or a seminar, you will see that at times the speaker is narrating or possibly explaining a slide and you simply zone off into some memory and you don't even realize. It's after some time that you come back to the speaker and you have no clue what he has spoken. This happens most often to people who have a lot of thoughts. So in such moments, whenever you feel that you're zoning off, you can simply bless the thought. So meditation does not have to be necessarily in the morning or evening. It will be definitely beneficial if you start early in the morning before sunrise and carry on the practice during the day. But if you are not able to do it, if you have a long night work, then you can break your time into maybe you take 5 minutes break every hour or maybe 2 minutes break every hour and sit in your meditation so that you can be so much in charge of the mind. It is absolutely necessary, because when consciousness decides the opportunities that you need, it brings these opportunities to you. And if you are not aware, and if you are not conscious, and if you are not present, then you will miss the opportunity. Fear takes over. Consciousness knows what opportunities to bring to us. But if we are not ready and present, fear could take over and we might lose that opportunity. And these opportunities can really be growth opportunities, which we have been asking for years. We might just lose it in the moment only because we are not present, we are not aware. Are there any business people here who want to ask any questions? Any busy bees who want to ask questions? I have a question here. Can you please tell which asana can be practiced that can help with posture for sitting in meditation with straight spine for longer time with ease? So there are so many postures. For example, you could do, if you know the Sanskrit names, you could do Ushtrasana. That is the camel pose. You can do that. You can do Bhujangasana. You can do Dhanurasana. So these are all practices, and you can't do one side. You have to do a counter pose so that you can stretch the spine and also compress the spine. What is more important is a combination. If you want to keep this, if meditation is a priority for you, then you need to follow it up with appropriate diet, which means that you have to eat foods that do not produce gas. And gas can get into the system and cause stiffness in different places. And that itself can interfere with your sitting posture. It can bring in numbness, tingling sensation. It can bring in spasms in your body and prevent you from continuing the practice for too long. So keep your diet in check and eat foods that are easily digestible. You can avoid all fried foods, but if you're looking at asana, to be able to perform asana, you need to have a healthy diet. By the way, summer is the best time for you to start your asana practice if you are thinking about it. This is the best time. 28th of May, summer, or the Agni Nakshatra ends. After that, you will have rains, which is not a very good time to practice the asana, to start at least. If you've started now, then you can continue the practice. But if you have not started, then you might find it difficult to start when the rains happen, because then digestion will be even more dampened and there is more chances of you getting spasms. But what is more important is the meditation practice. You could sit in a car seat and practice. You can be in a two-wheeler and practice. You can be sitting on a couch and practicing it. But these are all short practices for you to take on so that eventually it can contribute to sitting for a longer time in a sitting meditation. But none of these are in lieu of a sitting meditation in the morning. It's only when you absolutely cannot do that you can do these practices. Yesterday when I was traveling to the airport early in the morning, that's the time when I actually sit in meditation. I was meditating in the car. In the taxi that was taking me to the airport, I just don't waste time. That's a time when I usually sit in meditation. And because I was traveling by a taxi, I meditated at that time. So you can do that. To maintain consistency, you can meditate wherever you are, but make sure that it is at the same time, same place. For all these small break meditations that we do, it is important for us to maintain a straight back. The purpose of maintaining a straight back is that your mind just blanks out. When the neck projects forward, the thoughts fill up in the mind. But if you pull back your neck and keep a straight back and a straight neck and a straight spine, you will see that the number of thoughts that come into the mind automatically reduce. And when you know that, you will know exactly how to position yourself so that you can have lesser and lesser thoughts. Are there any more questions? All right. So I hope that you will take on these practices and reduce the number of reasons and excuses that you will give to yourself or to others to justify why you couldn't meditate. I have given you practices that you can do for half a minute, for 1 minute, for 2 minutes, 5 minutes or more. So just continue doing these practices so that you never have to fall out of a very simple practice that can have profound effect. Just before we leave, I would want to tell you that there's going to be a time in your future where you're going to have a lot of time, because your body will be very tired to do anything, but your mind will be active, and all the thoughts and opportunities that you had all these years are going to just come in front of your eyes, and it's going to tell you that you had all this time and opportunity and you did nothing about them, and you are going to feel very guilty about all of those. In fact, I work with a lot of people who are in their coma in the last stages, and they are stuck in the stage only because of the guilt, only because of the trauma that they go through while they look at all these opportunities that they had and they did nothing about them. So they are neither alive, nor are they going to come back, nor are they going. And that space where you are present to all the lost opportunities is a terrible suffering which for you, about which you can do nothing. So while you have the time, while you have the opportunity, while you have all the reasons for you to sit and meditate, I would urge you to just sit and meditate. I've seen a lot of suffering in people who are stuck in time. So please don't let go of these opportunities. For the little time that you have, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, just make sure that you bring in the consistency in your practice. Thank you so much for attending today, and we will connect again next Saturday. Until then, let's all sit in meditation every day. Make this a constant, consistent practice. Let's not give in to reasons and excuses about practicing. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend and a lovely week ahead.